Carl Herman, Mission Viejo, Joe Olson, Houston, Texas, Chris Weinert, Fort Myer, Florida, or on the commute to there for all the news that you need to know. Today is Wednesday, September the 6th, 2023. First up, from Professor Fetzer himself, a leaked audio and with Clapper. And Clapper is, he's revealing that there was a Dirty Tricks squad going after Trump, and that they had engaged in illegal activities, including planting pornography on targets' computers. And this was huge. It sounded to me exactly what it says up here, an interrogation. And, you know, who knows if this is real or not, but that could be a big deal. And Clapper, of course, he was the former director of national intelligence for Obama. Yeah, and let's talk about that for a moment, just to warm it up. That's all I got for that topic. So, gentlemen, did you have opportunity to take a look at that clip of what sounded like Clapper admitting to dirty tricks against Trump and really any political enemies, consistent with the historical documentation of governments targeting political opponents? Joe, your thoughts?
Rob Rosenstein was the key figure in that. And it's very similar to what they did with Carol Atkinson when they put stuff on her computer that they could turn around and say that she had accessed classified information and she was a terrorist. You know, it's like, yeah, these people have no boundaries at all other than they're going to win no matter what. And they've got the enormous power of the government to prosecute you ad infinitum. And you can't possibly be able to defend yourself. So everybody ends up getting a plea bargain because they'll plea you down to some charges that are like, well, I didn't do anything wrong, but I can't afford to fight you forever. And so I'll go ahead and take a knee. And that's the way bullies operate. And that's what we've got, is we've got a bunch of thugs and bullies running our whole entire government. But it's interesting that Musk is fixing to sue ADL for torturous injury because they have destroyed his business by driving away all of his advertisers. So, you know, this could get interesting real quick.
Yeah. Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, as someone who studied the deep state, so to speak, for 40 some odd years of my life, I will say that and has gone out of my way to intermingle with anybody that's had anything to do with that type of thing, just to see what their thoughts are, pick information. Anything that I can gather about any sort of information, I've always been trying to understand what goes on maybe behind the scenes in terms of political power and the big picture. So what I will say is most of these intelligence agents that I've come across, and I don't know too many, but I've you know, run into a few, let's say over 40 years, have said the same thing basically at the end of their careers, that the margin of utility, once it's diminished, they're pretty much done away with. In other words, they don't get to spend the money that they've gotten, the extravagant money they've gotten for the service of this cabal. They more or less get burned, hung out, or just killed with a fast-moving cancer or something like that. So, or flat-out murdered. So, or framed for murder, I guess. So there's a couple alternatives, a couple of scenarios that I'm just kind of mentioning there off the top of my head that are coming in. But yeah, I have to say that really, unless you're part of this bloodline, there's really not a seat at the table for you. And even then, I think these guys are going to pretty much eat each other once they depopulate us, if they're allowed to get away with it. And I really hope that humanity not only wakes up, but stands up and puts an end to this depopulation that these guys are trying to do to us, because at the end of the day, they're using our own kind to destroy us.
Yeah, and there are a couple of main points there that I want to emphasize that you said, Chris. They do eat their own. And one of the hopes that we do have is that the relative few numbers that are apparently guided by some sort of hyperintelligence, and hyperintelligence only because they have captured nearly every agency every agency that I can imagine, including corporate media. So it doesn't matter the paucity of their bullshit charges, they can just ring it up in corporate media and spin it. And so far, the sheeple are able, they consume that bullshit. And hence my position that we do need some sort of a breakthrough. But yeah, if we can get a breakthrough, and I think that we already have behind the scenes, but I can't prove that, so I don't say very much about that. They do eat their own, and that is good news for us. Anything else on that topic, gentlemen, or onward?
Hey, Carl, I was going to say that you're starting to see that happen in a lot of the highest places, like in the financial institutions. I think the trust level is absolutely diminished. I think you're seeing that happen, you know, not only in the bond rates, but in a lot of other things that maybe people might not normally pay attention to or attribute to that. But the trust level is at an all-time low amongst these people and amongst their own ranks. So I just like to point that out, that really, I think even they know exactly how full of shit they are. And I think the world's starting to figure it out, too. So maybe these are good things. Like you say, Carl, one day at a time, maybe, you know, the times will turn.
Yeah. And the vulnerability of our opponents on the financial picture. And I'll put my key article here on BitChute for the notes as well. When the money gets tight and the money starts running out and they begin to see the end game for a financial collapse, they may be even more motivated to turn on each other. All right, next. So this rapper Dax. So this guy, 5.2 million subscribers. I had never heard of him before. I guess he's a rapper. And they had 1.6 million views 4 days ago. Let's refresh this and see what we got now. I'm going to get a commercial here, but 1.7 million views. And this is from the number one country song right now, Rich Men North of Richmond, which is on the top of the country charts. So I think it's resonating with people. And what we need is this Emperor's New Clothes type of moment and condition. And hence, you know, just from being a professional historian, taking a look at the fall of some of these regimes historically, it does happen in a relative Emperor's New Clothes moment. When the protection around the leader turns and no longer is willing to protect the leader, then it happens pretty quickly. But we shall see. I am encouraged by the public response to this song. And now Dax stepping up and delivering his own, let's see, his remix with that offering. So that is awesome. Gentlemen, any thoughts about Richmond, north of Richmond, and just the public pulse of starting to be on the side of truth? Joe?
Yeah, well, definitely Oliver hit the nerve with the white, you know, redneck population 100%. And now, because they've arrested Trump, all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of black people that are going, hey, he's down with us. He's been through the hood rat program that we've been through. And now you got a rapper that's coming in. And he did a pretty good job of picking out the bullet points that would appeal to a black audience and interjecting them into Oliver's song. So bottom line is he's been able to lace together the social fabric that we're all stuck in this same mess. You know, I didn't really care much for Jesse Jackson, but when he was running for president, I think it was in 1988. Was that? Yeah, that was an election year. Anyhow, he was running for president, and he said, it doesn't matter if you came here on a slave ship or a luxury liner. We're all in the same boat now. And that's exactly where we are now, folks. We have got to fight this evil, and it is evil beyond imagination. But there's a whole bunch of vectors that show that they're failing on a cataclysmic basis. And, you know, we may face a collapse that's going to be very similar to the one we had in New York City 22 years ago, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Chris, your thoughts?
Definitely. As we're coming up on that date, you probably want to talk about that and bring some things to light to maybe some of our new viewers that maybe weren't paying as much attention back then and really haven't dug into 9/11 as much as maybe some of us have. And certainly this is us all trying to figure out the truth and seek justice, and certainly not to attribute credit to anyone or point fingers or create division. But there's certainly a lot of contradictory narratives, but I think we can all arrive at the same conclusion that 9/11 was kind of a high-tech bank robbery and a resource grab. And it was the blank check that had allowed the war of terror, the dragnet surveillance, everything that we're seeing in terms of our country being turned into an authoritarian prison state. So I think this is really part of the plan they've had for us all along. And it's been one of those slow boils where you know, you warn people about Agenda 21 back in the 90s, and they're like, ah, wake me up in 20 years when it matters. Well, you know, even in 20 years, you're telling the same people, hey, this is happening, and they still don't want to believe it. And, you know, they walk right into the buzzsaw, and they're like, why didn't you stop me? And it's like, I don't know, man. It's so unbelievable, the cognitive dissonance, or the way people have tuned this out and just didn't want to even see the potential hazards of all the stuff that's gone on. And I think it's a tribute to psychological warfare and studying the human condition, inquisition tactics, and the response to fear. So I think the people doing this are learning more about us as we're learning more about them. And I think it's a good know thy enemy situation, I guess. And hopefully more people are starting to discern who's who and what's what, and who the real enemies are. Because the guys tuning this into the racism or the religion or the political struggles, they're all designed cul-de-sacs. They're all designed to, you know, tug of war and wear us out and keep us balanced on each side so that no one ever wins. And basically, it's a distraction for their corruption. So I think at the end of the day, people are starting to see through the political theater that we call it, and maybe starting to get more of a grip on the big picture. At least look at the debt, and that should tell you enough about how much to freak out at this point.
I want to give a little anecdotal support to what Joe was talking about for the Black community. The first 17 years of teaching, I never had a Caucasian student. I volunteered to teach in the what they were called hard to staff schools for Los Angeles Unified School District. I was at Jefferson High School, which is a little bit south east of USC in Los Angeles at 41st and Compton. And, you know, I would ask my students one day, I asked this innocent question to one of the gangsters, and the gangsters, I enjoyed having them in class. They didn't come very often, but especially on Monday mornings, everybody would be silent because the gangsters would talk about the parties, the gang parties and the drive-bys and what would happen. And I asked one of these guys, I said, hey, so, you know, I listened to your guys' conversations, of course, because it's so interesting. The cops are in the drug deals? And this guy put his hand on my shoulder and said, Mr. Herman, I'll explain it to you because you're white and you don't know. The cops are in on every big drug deal. They protect the drug deals. The CIA, or at least suits, are in the big drug deals. And Pulitzer Prize winner, I think his first name was George Webb, for the San Jose Mercury News, covered that story. He won a Pulitzer for the CIA being behind the drug deals in California. And, you know, unfortunately, Mr. Webb, after winning his Pulitzer Prize, was somehow depressed and committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice. And one day I asked my students, you know, everybody in the neighborhood has bars on their windows. And there were never any fights at school. Actually, one fight. I broke up a fight between two girls, but there wasn't any fights. And at other schools, because I did take advantage of my off-track time. This was a year-round school. So off-track, I'd substitute teach for several districts. And I got a tremendous experience of socioeconomic communities and the kids. And in the richer communities, there were fights all the time, but never at Jefferson High School. And I asked the kids about that. I said, how come you guys never fight? I mean, everybody gets quiet and everybody gets close and you talk quietly, because I walked up close to some of these situations. And, you know, I was told again, you know, Mr. Herman, you don't know who is backing who up, and you don't want to do anything to be a target. So if we really do need to take care of business, we'll take care of business outside of school. So, and there were a lot of stories about that. All right. Anything else on that topic? Or we're moving on. Next.
There's Jared Webb.
What's that, Chris?
George Webb's still alive. He's the Mossad affiliated guy that, you know, whatever, does a lot of weird stuff, a lot of interesting studies.
Gary Webb.
George Webb. Yeah, he was the guy. Him and Goodman were together for a while. George Webb.
Yeah.
Jerry Webb is the guy that got shot by the head.
Yeah, yeah. All right, next. I do want to show this 17-second video of the current technologies with masks and that we have talked about on the show for years, that Biden is not Biden. He is an actor, and you can tell that when he scratches his face, is that his, it's not skin. It responds like a latex mask. Ne laisse pas ton odeur imprégner mes draps, et si tu m'abandonnes, je suis pas celle que tu crois. Aucun cabron ne m'a touché, à part toi, caballero. Personne ne m'a touché. La cocaïne a pris ma famille. And there we go with that. And regarding the actor Biden, we got a couple of stories with him. So this is Jonathan Turley. Jonathan Turley, a lawyer who has argued in front of the Supreme Court. He's at George Washington University. His blog had been rated the number one in the country at least once. And this 5,400 emails as a pseudonym that at the very first day, at day one, you are admonished that all of your communications as a government employee need to be documented and need to be on that email, that your email. But here you have the aliases of Biden, including Robert Peters. And interestingly enough, on the Hunter laptop, he calls his dad Pedo Peter. And that the one of the excuses that here we go. So the Democrats have now stopped denying that Biden had never talked to his son. Remember the cover story that Biden had said, I've never talked to my son about work, which is ridiculous on his face. What father doesn't talk to his son about how work is going? But now they're making the case. Oh, okay, so Hunter did get paid, and they did talk. Joe and Hunter did communicate, but it was just the illusion of influence. They didn't really influence ever, not ever, ever, ever. So they're backtracking a lot. And the Washington Post decided to go ahead and cover the lies that Biden has been telling. Remember, as a political candidate, this guy was basically thrown out of the race in, I think, in 88 or 92 for just plagiarism in a speech. This guy is a serial liar. And the Washington Post, their spin on it, here's a guide to some of the stories told by President Biden that cannot be verified or are not plausible. So they're still playing defense for the guy. All right, gentlemen, Joe, what are your thoughts about those stories regarding Biden masks, et cetera?
Yeah, well, in the et cetera category, we have his complete ignoring of the hurricane victims in Florida and the directed energy weapon victims in Maui. But today, Blinken goes over to Ukraine and gives them another $1 billion. And then they're pushing this stolen election crap just beyond the imagination. Today, there was an interview with Lou Dobbs and Sidney Powell, and she said, we have got absolutely all of the evidence. We've got records of Dominion rigging elections starting in May of 1998 in Venezuela when they illegally installed Hugo Chavez. And that was the election that little Jimmy Carter went down there and said it was the most honest election ever in the whole world, except for the one that we had and the one we had in 2020. Know, just a bunch of bullshit. That guy was absolutely horrible president. He's the one that gave us FEMA, which is spectacularly in every federal emergency since it was created. So I have no use for that little weasel. And then let's see. I think that's enough for right now because I want to save my big ammo for the 911 closing.
Excellent. Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, I remember that too. You know, Chavez was trained at the School of the Americas in Panama City. It's basically where they train despots that can become military and political leaders in these third world countries. And they're pretty much put there by corporate interests and people that are looking to take resources from these people or labor or coal. So, yeah, I think it's something that's gone on around the world. I think that it's finally coming home to roost. And I think that people are waking up to it. And I think it's a rude awakening, but long overdue. And I hope that people understand not only what's happening around the world by our military operations is pretty much happening at home, too, as far as controlling elections and certainly censoring people and targeting anybody that has the courage to stand up.
Excellent. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, one other little interesting tidbit. The French were trying to overthrow the government in Niger, and the government of Niger escorted all of the French military. There's about 1,000 of them out of the country. And today they raised the price of uranium from 80 cents euros per kilogram to 249 per kilogram. So bottom line is, France, you've been coasting along with your wonderful nuclear power plants. Get ready to start pay the real world price, because you're getting ready to lose. And not only that, the Saudis and the Russians have said that they're going to cut back oil production, and immediately oil went to $90 a barrel, and we've got a $60 a barrel price fixed on all Russian oil. So how much Russian oil is going to hit the market at $60 a barrel under our price fixing bid rigging game? Ain't going to happen, man. Every bit of this house of cards is collapsing faster than they can prop them back up. So yeah, expect a dramatic change in the world in a real short period of time, and Lord knows we need it, and we need to hang a bunch of these people because they're irredeemable. But that ought to be enough for right now.
All right, excellent. And in history, I do want to remind people, and I'll put in the show notes here at BitChute, the 40-page white paper that I contributed to Congressman Kucinich in the attempted impeachment of Bush and Cheney for Iran. So in 1953, with Operation Ajax, the Shah was kicked out and a puppet was put in. And the reason that the puppet was put in, one of the reasons, is that in the democratic Iran after World War II, where the rhetoric was, just help us and you'll be independent. That was the promise of the U.S. and the U.K. and the developed countries. Just help us and you'll have your independence. Well, okay. So they wanted their independence. They wanted to renegotiate their oil contracts with the U.S. and the U.K. oil companies, because the contract was that Iran was only getting 15% of their own oil profits. Only 85% of the profits were going to the American and the British companies. And of course, that was an unacceptable alternative. So Mossadegh was overthrown and the Shah was put in, and the petrodollar rolled on. All right, next.
And if you saw the great epic film Lawrence of Arabia, he united the Arabs against the Turkish Empire on the promise that they would have an Arab state created. And little did he know, at the same time, the Sykes-Picot between England and France, splitting them up into separate little colonies, which is what they had up until World War II, when they pulled the same trick on the Arabs again. And then when it turned out that the people were fixing to rise up, we had taken Khomeini from the Ajax Revolution and housed him in a CIA halfway house in Paris so that we could reinstall him, so that we'd be able to boycott Iranian oil to keep the price of oil high enough to justify the cost of the Alaska pipeline, and then later the cost of the North Sea oil lines. Jim and I did a great documentary on that that was presented to the Iranian government. That page-long analysis of that particular bit of chicanery. But yeah, absolutely horrible.
Yeah, and historically, I'll put in the show notes here, as well, the Philippines fell for the same thing in the War of 1898. The Filipino revolution leaders were promised by the American military leadership, just help us against Spain and we'll give you your independence. The Philippine leader said, could we have this in writing? And the American leadership said, we're the American government. We're not like those other people. Our word is our bond. And of course, they reneged and took the Philippines as a colony. And in the subsequent revolution for the Filipinos trying to take on the U.S. Marines for their freedom, up to 1 million Filipinos were murdered in that historical example of cultural genocide, which goes on to Dr. David Martin. So he gave this talk in front of the EU. What is it, 22 minutes? Yeah, 22 minutes. And he just lays out the timeline of what COVID has been. And this was a remarkably powerful resource. So our audience members, if you want to be able to go through the history and demonstrate that this was a crime against humanity, here's this one. I'll give you mine, my best shot. This video was on YouTube, but not any longer. This video is no longer available because the YouTube account associated with this video has been terminated. And on with more COVID news. The CDC is now refusing new COVID vaccine adverse events reports. Of course, here's the documentation of it after 10 million people. And of course, this is ridiculous because of the injuries associated with this. So the CDC's response and the official response is to just ignore any subsequent injuries. And of course, our opponents can never back up. They can never stop moving forward in their surrender, because if they slow down, then people are going to calm down. They're not going to be so afraid. They're going to take a look at some of the data and they're going to recognize that they've been played forever. So Biden is now going to be. So the story is that the, triple boosted Jill Biden is now tested positive for COVID. Of course, the tests are bogus. But Biden is now going to wear a mask, and we're seeing some of the mask rhetoric going up. And this article as well, and encouraging all Americans to follow the CDC guidelines for the masks. And I like this response of the COVIDiot, you not wearing a mask puts myself and family at risk. Your obedience to elite pedophiles, criminal government, pharma cartel, corrupt media, and dark agenda puts myself and my family at risk. So flipping the script, that is something that thematically I do recommend, and it is a big, big deal to flip the script, because all these people do is project whatever it is that they're accusing an opponent of. It's they themselves are doing it, and that's a standard playbook for our opponents. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, when we got rid of Walensky, we ended up getting another nice little Jewish girl doctor named Mindy. And she came in and started doing the Mork and Mindy routine about how wonderful she was and how everything at the CDC was just going to be unicorns and rainbows and everything's going to be absolutely wonderful, blah, 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 blah. It's like, give me a freaking break, man. Just like Bill Gates has just bought $95 million worth of Bud Light stock because he thinks it's going to rebound. Now you've got even more excuses to never buy a Bud product in the rest of your life, man. Anheuser-Busch needs to bite the bullet big time. So let's make sure that we keep that boycott going and expanding.
I think the actor playing Bill Gates, he may be banking on his plan to deforest for climate change, to help the climate. You have to cut down all the trees to help the climate. That's a 180 from the previous stance, but he's just trying to be a hero again. Chris, your thoughts?
I was going to say, I wonder if the Saudi and the Arab royals that they tricked into fighting against the Ottomans and Germans in World War I knew about the Balfour Declaration. That'd be an interesting, conversation. I don't think Lawrence Arabia would ever tell the people that he was dealing with anything like that, even though he probably knew about it. These guys have been notorious for double crossing and certainly playing both sides against the middle. And like I say, I think that they've been running this type of gambit for a long, long time, playing, the Guelphs and the Ghibellines, or the French versus the British. They're all cousins. They're all pretty much just culling the fighting age male population and basically lowering the standard of living and basically saying, if you don't like it, you can go live in France or you can go live in England or Spain or wherever. It's a race to the bottom with all these royal families who are somehow mostly all related and intermarried, similar to the banking situation, where they can just do whatever they want with that, tell you if you're credit worthy or not, and decide if you can live in a house or if you're homeless. It's the same situation, just maybe different means to the same ends. They are trying to depopulate us. This is not a happenstance. It's not an accident. All these things that they steered against in terms of practical and useful advice in the COVID thing, everything that they shushed out was absolutely a legitimate way of fighting this thing without going after the jab. and instead they just ridiculed it, ignored it. They chose what data they want to look at in terms of results of the vaccine. They chose what data they wanted to put out in terms of COVID versus the flu. They've been selectively accounting all their data and information to tell this narrative that they seem to be making up and making a ton of money from making it up. So, yeah, this pharmaceutical science is the new religion as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, I really am not a believer in it. I'll just say that. So, yeah, they're going to definitely try to put the rack out in public and put people on the wheel and make sure that nobody dares stand up or you know, not comply. So I think we got to be ready for that. And we got to hammer this back hard if they try this bullshit again. You know, the reason they're going to try it again is because we didn't hang them the first time when they tried it. So I think we should learn from our mistakes.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that contest. But I do want to say something about Lawrence of Arabia, growing up in SoCal and knowing a lot of waiters and waitresses. I mean actors. That was a brilliant film, and Peter O'Toole. And that is a great example of the Empire using Hollywood to advance its agenda. Peter O'Toole just did a brilliant job of playing a concerned, intelligent, committed, brave, virtuous man trying to help the Arabs unite. And of course, he was on the good side of that war, when really World War I was about the colonial powers, after they had stolen all that they could of the world. They, of course, weren't satisfied. So they had a war against each other to steal the stuff from each other.
Think of the carnage, you know? There's some battles that had 1 million dead in a day in World War I, than a bunch of them. So, I mean, there was a lot of carnage from that. They rolled out the vaccine agenda under the fog of that war and basically killed a lot more people with Spanish flu, cholera, typhoid, malaria, a lot of other stuff, too. So, yeah, this is a mass depopulation event. And it carries on to the Holodomor and around in many other places in China and around the world. And these guys just are killing en masse. And somehow or another, they have all the credit and credibility and the honor and the favorable narratives. But these people are psychopathic murderers that are using us and using our patriotism and our innocence against us.
Yeah, and it just really was a kill zone in World War I. Go ahead, Joe.
And another epic film from that same era was Dr. Zhivago, which did a really good job of painting the Bolsheviks as being some really nasty SOBs. And the music in that and the cinematography in both of those were stunning. It was amazing. They were in the IMAX theater, which had three projection cameras and a great big circular screen. And they were big events when you went to see them back in the early 60s. And I remember Lawrence of Arabia and going, Jesus Christ, it's here. I remember Dr. Bob, same temperature in the same theater, going, God, I'm freezing to death. It was amazing the way the visuals could project sensory feelings to you, because I guarantee you they weren't adjusting the thermostat one way or the other in those theaters.
And in terms of military tactics in World War I, ordering your guys to run into machine gun fire after the artillery shelling of the trenches, burying people alive. Both of my grandfathers were lied into the American Expeditionary Forces into World War I. My mother's father, Papa, was a trained pneumatic engineer for braking systems, and he was in Paris, and he had fond stories of French food and French women. My dad's dad died young of a heart attack, and he never told stories. My dad said he was in the trenches, and whenever the topic had come up, he would just turn dark and say, I do not tell war stories. And everybody could feel from his response that he wasn't going to say anything about it. His life in the trenches of witnessing the orders to go over the top and to run into the machine gun fire. All right, next.
Yeah, Carl, that was kind of an interesting war. Like every one of these wars is them testing out some new military product. And in that war, it was them replacing the cavalry, the traditional cavalry, which required man and beast to coordinate in strategy and have some sort of an intricate training system, into just chemical warfare and tank warfare. So the cavalry got replaced with the iron tanks. And it certainly, not saying it eliminated strategy, but it changed a lot of things in terms of conventional warfare. And we're seeing a similar thing happening now with some of the new conventions and new technology. Conventions of warfare certainly changing. And, you know, look at all that's gone on and all the carnage in Ukraine, and it's still not even a declared war yet, right? I mean, look at this is just flat out active mass murder, and they, you know, whatever they call it, a war, a conflict, an issue, you know, whatever, hang out a few mid-level scapegoats, and they just kill a lot of people, man. It's sad. I hope people will someday stop feeding the thresher with their own children, and you know, turn the barrels on the people that are trying to put this evil on people. Because when you come back from war, you know, you're not the same. You know, this is what Ajax, you know, was all about with Sophocles and many other people that have written about this. PTSD is not a new thing. It has been a classic human condition for thousands of years. And they understand that, you know, nobody's going to come back from a war the same moral centered person that they were before they left. And they understand that impact it has on these veterans, especially when they leave them out in the cold and leave them to be shattered by you know, reintegration and you know, a lot of recovery from the stuff that's forced on them in their service. Think about this. They vaxxed all those guys. Think about how much trouble they've had from those vaxxes. These guys have been suffering in silence from, you know, all these different diseases that they're making up. But ultimately, it's probably a result of much of the schedule that they've been placed on.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I agree that the evolution of warfare, part of it is the constant interest of our masters to have live weapons testings in these conflicts, and the fortification of defensive positions for overpowering gunpowder to be able to destroy any advancing enemies gave rise to the artillery to destroy the defensive fortifications before you do that. And part of the big deal of the Pentagon Papers with Daniel Ellsberg was that the Vietnam War was in part about that ongoing live weapons testing, because the you need to have some sort of a reason, a justification to increase the military budget for the investment, for the R&D, for the military, and then you got to try it out, because that's how our opponents roll. All right, next. Leaders who have had their political opponents arrested, you have a fine list there, including the actor playing Biden. This, you know, it might be that the victory of our revolution is going to go at the pace of Tucker Carlson's script. So him going after Obama and Big Mike, that could be a big, big deal. We shall see. It is taking step by step. And but we'll see. We'll see. We do need a breakthrough. And people have not been able to connect the dots up to now, but it's getting harder and harder for people to avoid connecting those dots. All right, Joe, anything about that political landscape?
Yeah, they're still continuing the prosecutions. They sentenced some J6 people to, one of them got 22 years in jail, which is pretty shocking. More time than Ghislaine Maxwell got for peddling little kids and diddling while she was doing it. And then also, Owen Schroeder had to a plea, took like 3 months or something for a charge when actually didn't do anything wrong. But now, prosecutors want to charge him and sentence him to 120 days for questioning the 2020 election, saying that the election appeared to be rigged. So, you know, you talk about thought crimes. There is not a single page of 1984 that we're not living in right now. We got Winston Smith up there at the Ministry of Truth rewriting absolutely everything in history and making sure that you couldn't find it. If you did find it, you'd be discredited for finding it. It's absolutely insane that we put up with this crap. And there was a saying in there that Oceania has always / never been at war with East Asia / Eurasia, because that's exactly what's going on. We're always at war with one of these three polar items. And so bottom line is they just have to keep you in perpetual war, exactly what the UN has done to the world since 1947, not prevented a single war anywhere.
Yeah.
I think the quote is in there, Joe, is the war was never meant to be won yet, but to remain perpetual. Yeah, excellent. I'd also like to point out that over the last week, there is a GDL merged with another group protest about Jewish supremacy in Florida. And I thought it was kind of interesting to see how like that thing was infiltrated by what seemed to be military operatives or people that had ties to the intelligence agencies, maybe the FBI. It reminds me a lot of like the PATCON stuff in the 90s before 9/11, where they were going after, you know, just like they are, I guess, now, saying that the average American middle class white national is the biggest threat to the national security. So these liberal governments, I guess, have been saying that for a long time. And I guess really it is a threat to them to some extent. So they're really going after people that are standing up to many of the apparatus that they have in place in terms of power structure, and using not only the law, but intimidation and inversion to really turn people and the average onlooker against them in ways that are pretty sinister. So, yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of this stuff is people are being set up in this stuff, just like the J6. And I think that there's, you know, people that maybe are steering them into the buzzsaw. And then after that happens, those guys will step back. The agents, the feds, or the operatives or informants will basically walk away like is the good Judas goats they are. And then these idealists that get roped into this righteous cause are somehow or another going to end up being martyrs and public enemies after, you know, the ADL and their journalist, independent journalists take over. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll throw in a 1984 quote as well, paraphrased, is that the party's final command was to reject what you could see and hear and to accept what the party would tell you everything meant. And that's dictatorship, to dictate, to dict, speak, and that whatever is said for as long as it's said, that's what you're supposed to follow and just be a good sheeple.
Carl, government actually means mind control, if you really look at the origin of it, you know?
Yeah, that's the etymology. All right. Next. So going to Hawaii again. So we've covered this sufficiently, and this is a good article if you want more. And that this guy, Robert Brame, a forensic arborist, and he's looked at, and this is a nice summary of what he has to say, that of the 100 alleged wildfires that he's witnessed, that 35 of them were due offered. And he gives the physical evidence in order to substantiate that, and the nice video for that. So if you want that proof, it is there in abundance. This is an article that I wrote in 2019 for the forest fires that were about 50 miles north of me. And you can see here the forest fire somehow didn't damage the forest, but only obliterated the structures in the middle of the forest. And it's targeted there. And two fire captains, they did the analysis of their own backyard, and they documented that what the damage that they saw was not possible from a fire. And as a trained historian, we take a look at physical evidence primarily because physics, the laws of physics, cannot be bent. They do not lie. The temperatures of the damages were 2 to 3 times normal, probably more than that. And that some of the things just didn't burn that should have burned. And trees burned only from the base and the inside out. And that these smart meters had been used in order to start some of the fires. And one of those two fire captains is right here commenting upon what happened in Maui. And he also has a lot to say about the subsequent area of research, since he's able to go ahead and nail what's going on with the fire evidence and the physical evidence. He goes on and has a lot to say about the mind control involved in order to distract people from what their eyes will show them. All right, Joe, anything that you'd like to say about the fires, alleged fires?
Yeah, I did an hour-long interview Saturday evening with Joseph Arthur at TNT Radio, and we discussed all this stuff. There's basically, to my knowledge at this point, there's three different types of electromagnetic dew weapons. One of them is lasers, which is optical, but it's a pulse and amplified light. The other one is microwaves. And then the third one is plasma. So you have those, and plasma is actually borderline nuclear. But bottom line is they have weapons that are portable that use all three of those methods. And I think the only way we're going to be able to resolve this is hopefully Putin and his military have telemetry worldwide, and they know which satellites and which Air Force assets were deployed to do the damage that was done at Maui, and that they can actually present that evidence along with the evidence that they know that the World Trade Center buildings are destroyed using nuclear bombs, which I'm certain that they have, and they've got plenty of other evidence. So the day comes when Putin decides to lay all of his files out on the deep state is toast, because at this point he's established more credibility worldwide than the United States has. And please, Mr. Putin, release the files, because throw this yoke off of us so that we can all join in humanity and solve the world's problems.
Spoken like an engineer. Chris, your thoughts on Maui?
Without question, the parallels are uncanny as far as the media janitorial coverage, the first responders claiming something much different than the official narrative. Most of these first responders in 9/11 had very short lives. Most of them were I don't know if you guys remember that or not, but their responding radio equipment all was jammed up. And strangely enough, there's reports of you know, on the certain bridges to get onto the island of Manhattan on 9/11, there was reports, I think coming off the island into New Jersey, of a jamming machine found in a work van that was tied to some Israeli janitor service or something like that. And you know, it was a story for a few days, and then it just went by. And then next thing you know, 19 Muslims did this. We're going into Afghanistan, and then next thing you know, Iraq. And then here we are 20 years later with a significant egg on our face. Nobody's ever faced justice for that quote unquote hustle foul miscalculation. You know, these guys walked away scot-free, and look at the carnage they caused with that. Look what they did with the COVID vax. Look what they did with the COVID thing. Look what they're doing with the financial thing. Look at that. I mean, this is a war that's been waged on many different spectrums against us. And it's really hard for us to have the organizational skills, especially in the face of censorship and logistical roadblocks that are placed upon us from these very same people we're mentioning. So this is all done in terms of public service or governance for us, and the intelligence agencies doing this to justify budgets and whatever else they do. So yeah, it's really sad, this extortion game they have on humanity.
Yes, tragic comic. All right, gentlemen, those are the end of our stories. Let's go to our final thoughts of what you'd like to inform our audience of. Joe.
Yes, I've got several invitations to do interviews on 911, which, as a trained structural engineer registered for over 40 years, I've spent at least 5,000 hours since the day it happened, because I watched the building, South Tower, lean over 22 degrees, pop upright, and then fall down in its own shadow in 14 seconds. And I said, from that moment forward, this is controlled demolition. I don't know exactly how it happened, but I know how buildings are built, because I had to take every required course for to be a structural engineer. And I have worked with dozens of structural engineers over the last 50 years, because I worked my way through college. One of the people that has talked to me about doing a 911 interview, it has a BitChute channel, Tim Truth, and he's got a 36-minute video up right now. Terrorists with film cutters, 911 plane video forgeries show pre-planned big-budget media attack. And man, this guy absolutely nails it. He shows exactly how they did the CGI on both planes going into the buildings, and how they made errors in their overlays, and absolutely anybody that's got the slightest amount of video knowledge is going to be able to look at that and go, you're right. And I've had so many people tell me, no, I watched it on TV. I saw those planes fly right in that building. You must be crazy. You must be wearing a tinfoil hat. And our government would never do that. Well, guess what? Our government did do that, along with the help of a few other spy agencies worldwide, which we don't even have to name, because we all know who the Five Eye groups are and who's the Sixth Eye. So bottom line is, yeah, we're going to have another 22 anniversary. And on the 15th anniversary, I attended the Austin Truth Fest, which was about a 10-minute drive from InfoWars World Headquarters. We featured Christopher Bolin, author of Solving 911, on who made the most amount of money by blowing us up that day and who benefited from it. Certainly excellent work. And then also investigative reporter Jim Mars, who wrote one of the best books on the JFK assassination. So here you had a wonderful, legendary Texas investigative journalist and a wonderful journalist that had done investigative reports on who actually benefited from 911. And InfoWars not only did not mention it, they didn't send a reporter, and then they didn't bother to cover it afterwards. And when I tried to post stuff on their website, I was blocked because InfoWars is very much a controlled operation opposition. And I went to 50 Open Texas and Stop the Steal rallies in the last 3 years. And at half of those rallies, there was an InfoWars group there. And I went up and talked to all of their reporters and all of their film crews. And all of them were like, oh, we know all about 911. We're the ones that broke the story on it. You can't tell us anything on that. And it's like, well, I'm a structural engineer who studied it for 5,000 hours. Maybe I could tell you something if you'd shut up and listen, but you won't. So, you know, bottom line is I went to the 2009 Architects and Engineers for 911 first DVD premiere in Austin, 4 hour long press conference. I got there an hour early, reviewed all the material, talked to Richard Gage. They had Alex Jones completely sequestered, but I listened to him come out and rant for about 45 minutes and then disappear behind his team of handlers. And bottom line is, I'm sorry, Alex, I challenge you to debate 911 or any expert you can bring forward because you are not telling people the truth.
Thank you, Joe. Chris.
Yeah, I look at maybe a little bit of a different perspective when I look at 9/11. Not saying that anyone's perspective is right or wrong, but everybody focuses on different parts of it. And my focus was primarily not only more on the cui bono, you know, the companies that had, let's just say, clean slates after this thing happened, even certain politicians that had a lot of information that they could have been prosecuted with in terms of ties to China and many other things. All gone and erased in that too, supposedly. How about $2.3 trillion missing from the Pentagon reported a day earlier? That was kind of a big deal. Nobody really talked about that in the news so much. How about our I think our budget at the time, or our deficit, I'm sorry, was I think it was around $1 trillion around the turn of the century, wasn't it? Around 2000.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure that's right. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so think about $32 trillion now in 23 years. That's amazing. Chasing this phantom menace, supposedly, securing more or less resources for these corporate entities that are selling it back to us at high dollars. Do you remember when utilities were actually a public service and they couldn't really price gouge on things like that? They couldn't have, and they went over the privatized thing because they said they could pay their workers more. They could give us cheaper utilities. You know, basically energy costs what went on the private market. And since then, what do you think the costs have done since the 90s when they did this until now? So, I mean, there's such an extortion racket that's all tied to this stuff. And of course, the security, the National Security Act, the NDAAs, the TSA, you know, basically they crawl up our ass with a microscope in every airport, you know, radiation detectors and stuff like that. And these guys fly around in charter jets, smuggling children left and right, and nobody even cares. Nobody even looks at them. They take drugs, whatever they want. And in our case, you know, we're treated like prisoners. And it's no joke. I mean, in a sense, our freedom was taken and we were turned into the convicts, the product of the state. And ultimately, at the end of the day, the state is irresponsible and probably responsible for this. So I think really much of this is tied together with much of the other stuff in the financial industries and certainly around the world with resources and poverty and you know, even the destruction of property and, you know, maybe even this disaster capitalism. Think about the new forms of warfare. If you can cause weather problems, you know, you can cause hurricanes or you can cause, you know, volcanoes or forest fires or, you know, things like this. Man, you can literally destroy populations without even firing a shot and without taking any sort of political capital against you for it, and then come in looking like the supposed heroes like Oprah or The Rock or the FEMA. You know, so this is something else that's going on here. This is almost like what they used to do in the 70s, where they would kidnap children and these assholes that kidnapped the child would actually be running around pretending to help find the child, you know, and all along they know where the kid's at, and they know exactly what's going on. And these motherfuckers are doing this to us around the world in every country. And these are psychopaths, and they work in tandem with each other. And it's time that maybe we have to start working in tandem with each other to really outnumber them and take back what will never be given back. And I think those are probably good places to end my final thoughts for right now.
Excellent. Well, regarding InfoWars, it was about 7 years ago, going back to what Joe was talking about, where something happened and Alex was somehow captured and made into a controlled opponent or a controlled asset for our opponents. And I know that because in the beginning, Washington's blog, I was one of the primary writers for that previous excellent website that was operated by an anonymous attorney who still wants to be anonymous because his children's lives were threatened for covering 9/11. InfoWars used to print almost daily one of the articles that that owner or I that would write. And then all of a sudden, about 7 years ago, we were cut off. And that was the end of any interest for Alex Jones with any of the work that I was doing. And I think, you know, part of the emphasis that I had back then, writing since 2009, about 1,000 articles with 50 million plus page views, was always the emphasis that I still have today, is that you need to demand, you need to step up and demand the leader's arrest for provable crimes centering in war and money. And as hey, Carl, the, yeah.
I was going to ask you, sorry to sideline on this, but I was going to ask you, do you think that Alex Jones could be Bill Hicks?
I've seen that. And, you know, who knows?
I have my suspicions, and I almost think that this is almost exactly what he described like 6 months before he died, supposedly in 94. So he said this at the end of 93, talking about going off and doing the Rush Limbaugh thing on conspiracy theory type radio and selling the orange drink. And I mean, if that ain't Alex Jones, I don't know what the hell is. But yeah, this is, you know, even his voice, when he would yell, he would do the same Alex Jones, you know. It's like, man, I don't know. The teeth are the same. The eyes are the same. You know, I could see him getting a little bit of a plastic surgery and like a, you know, a steroid regimen or something maybe, and going into this Alex Jones persona. What are your thoughts? I know that's a little heavy and hard to believe, but, you know, these guys, they seem to thrive on this type of deception and this type of foolery, like the Merry Prankster type stuff, you know? And Kevin Booth said something that really set me off too about Alex Jones's footage at Waco was done 4 years, 5 years later. So in other words, it was done in like 97, 98, 99 even, you know? So like, yeah, I don't know. I really, how far do you think they'd go to pull this shit over on us? You know, I mean, they got a whole network of people, it seems, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for Bill Hicks, I very much appreciated his work. And it kind of has a spiritual / drug-induced consciousness-altering experience type of angle to it, which definitively the Alex Jones or whatever it is that's playing Alex Jones doesn't seem to have that vibe at all. It's pretty much an anger type of vibe, although the factual content often can be good. Joe, do you have any thoughts on Chris's point?
I don't know. Maybe it's just a good doppelganger out there running around. I've had people tell me that they've seen me at places I've never been, and they go, well, you've got somebody that looks just like you. I'm like, man, I feel sorry for that guy. But anyhow, you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Stuck in these flesh suits, and we just got to deal with what we've got.
Yep, yep.
As it's almost like William Casey said, you know, like you'll tell Americans that when they won't believe anything anymore, the levels of disinformation or whatever, that the quotas he had, where the CIA director was talking about that, talking about their plan will have worked when they Americans don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah, and it is a basic intelligence test. And if Americans can discern objective reality from this political bullshit spin, then we have a hope against these lying sacks of spin. And as the son of an engineer and as the husband of an engineer, neither of whom believe very much that of what I can present factually, I guess belief is the right view because they don't engage in the factual content, both of whom are highly intelligent to be able to do so, but they didn't. And my final thought would be, is that all our opponents have are these narratives, and they are factually fall apart at the slightest push. They're paper thin propaganda. All our opponents engage in is these narratives of control. They get crisis actors and then puppeticians and prostitutes to go ahead and read their scripts. And what we still do need some sort of a breakthrough to snap through to this emperor's new clothes moments. And we do apparently need friends in high places for that to happen, or something that it, and when I use the term breakthrough, I'm speaking kind of in a technical way, and that a breakthrough is literally unimaginable and unpredictable. And the reason that that is the case is that if we could imagine it, if we could predict it, then it wouldn't occur suddenly and outside, and we could cause more of these breakthroughs. And that the name of the game, apparently, that for our audience members, and I appreciate with our commenters, with Joe and with Chris, is the intellectual integrity and the moral courage to simply point to what is objectively and factually true. And if we can stay there, if we can just hold that line, I mean, the alternative is to surrender. We could surrender. I mean, we could, but I don't think our quality of life has any hope for that. And there's abundance of evidence that we've been great reset before. So I wouldn't recommend the surrender option. And it would be morally and intellectually repugnant to consider that at any case. All right. Well, this has been Need to Know News, unless you guys have anything else.
Have a nice weekend.
Take care, guys. Yep.
All right. We will be back on Friday for more of the news that you need to know.